This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
On Friday, September 27th, the Norris Group proudly presents its 12th annual award-winning black tie event, I Survived Real Estate. An incredible lineup of industry experts will join Bruce and Aaron Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, massive tech disruption, and opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. All proceeds from the event benefit Make-A-Wish and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. This event is not possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association, Invest Club, Think Realty, Coach Fullerton, Keller Williams Corona, Property Radar, The Apartment Owners Association, MVT Productions, and Realty 411. Visit isurvivedrealestate.com for event information.
Hey everybody, it's Aaron Norris, and I'm here with Bruce Norris today, and by the time you're listening to this, it will be I Survived Real Estate. It's the show that airs while we're getting the video ready to post it on YouTube and Amazon Prime and a bunch of other places, but we're sort of in preparation mode, so I've developed a huge list. I'm only going to have max a half an hour to cover all the topics, and it's two pages, and I sent it to the panel that I'm working with, and it's crazy.
This is a very unique meeting we've got. We have some very strange charts and some very strange things that are going on outside of the world of real estate that are impacting interest rates. So we just interviewed Christopher Thornburg, and about three quarters of the way through the interview, he asked me this question. He said, you know, you haven't asked me one question about real estate yet.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And so I thought, you know what? Real estate's actually doing okay. It's all this other stuff. And so some of the questions for people that have, you know, like an economic viewpoint, like Doug Duncan, where he has a bigger view than just the real estate world and a lot of experience on what's going on. And so that's kind of important to get his perspective. Okay, we've got a 1.7% 10-year T-bill with full employment. That's never happened remotely.
Right.
So what's going on? And whatever the outside cause is that going to continue? Is it going to go negative? Mm-hmm. How's that going to impact us? Because we could be the beneficiary. But Sean O'Toole said something interesting. So in an email, he sends me an email and he said, I don't remember who initiated, but we both had said some outrageous things two or three years ago about interest rates getting very low. And the email he sent back, he said, it looks like we're going to be correct. And it's probably the one prediction I would have rather not been correct on.
On the interest rate?
On the interest rate being that low. And so that's kind of ominous. In other words, that's telling you a story that's not positive.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to hear his take. I'm going to ask him that in live in front of the audience, because I know he's got something in his mind that there's a reason this is occurring that isn't pleasant.
Well, if not familiar with I Survive Real Estate, let's back up a quick second. Check out isurvivedrealestate.com. This is our 12th year. We've raised almost $1 million, and we pay for the event, so 100% goes to charity, and the beneficiaries are Make-A-Wish and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. A couple weeks ago, we featured St. Jude talking about their mission and what they do, so really great causes. So actually, in real life, 100% goes to them. We bring together thought leaders from all over the industry, and what's unique is that a lot of us have gone to conferences where it's mortgage-related or realtor-related, and typically you see categories on stage together talking about the same thing. And what's unique about what we cover at this event is you've got a lot of interesting thought leaders from different segments of the real estate industry beating up topics that that real estate investors don't typically have access to. So there's about 400 people in the audience for this black tie event at the Nixon Library. I think when we started this back in 2008, we called it I Survive Real Estate because at the time we were in a free fall and we were just excited to get people to show up. It was pretty amazing. But the genesis of it was some of the best conversation we heard when we were starting taping the radio show 12 years ago happened after we stopped recording. and you heard ideas from these people from, you know, the auction, Tommy Williams say, yes, like, oh, I wish we could talk about this. I'm like, man, I wish, you know, Leslie Appleton Young from Carr would hear you say this and vice versa. So that's how we got the idea. And this many years later, here we are.
We didn't get the idea. You did.
Oh, well, you said, okay.
Well, that was with same with the radio show. You said, I think we had a radio show. I said, really? Anyway, so, but what's been really great about it is that we've always been able to get the most appropriate topics covered by the highest level people.
Yeah.
So, like, we have some new people this year.
Let's talk about them really quick, because it's pretty cool. Simon Chen, he is just been, within the last 30 days, been moved to the head of innovation, the executive vice president of innovation for Realogy. Realogy is a parent company of it's sort of like an alphabet to Google. This is like, Realogy is to companies like ERA, Coldwell Banker, and Home and Gardens. So they own a few different real estate brands. They own other brands. But he's now moving from being the CEO of ERA into this role of innovation. He has an engineering background. So he specifically brought on board, we've been working very hard for the last year and a half to get an iBuyer. And they're all playing it very close to the vest. And they've been moving, they've been working on partnerships. It's been really hard to follow. And I couldn't land any of them this year, but they just signed on with a partnership with Amazon, where if you spend so much, if you buy a piece of real estate through the turnkey program through Amazon, it's working with Realogy brands to get into real estate. You get a bunch of free stuff. So I've been teaching for years that I think Amazon will be the first to launch free stuff. It's just interesting that this is their way to do it. So they're giving you free hardware, and then the services piece is going to allow somebody to install it professionally and teach you how to use it. So the adoption rate will go up. So I'm very fascinated to speak with Realogy about their innovation approach, because as of now, it doesn't seem like they're going to tip their toe into the iBuyer space. Doesn't mean that they won't, but he says that he's prepared to say why they don't plan on doing so, which is interesting, because you've got companies like Keller Williams going in all in on innovation, spending $1 billion on innovation in a variety of ways. But they've just recently partnered with OfferedPad, which is in the Southern California. They have been since, they're one of the early ones. I think they've been here since 2017.
What's also interesting is John Burns is a consultant for a lot of these companies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
assuming he is, because he's up to his eyeballs in the national builders, the hedge funds. That would be a natural for somebody to say, what do you think of this? I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah. And I do want to tell everybody, we've never paid speakers.
No.
These companies are all donating their time because of the cause. So it's really special, and we really appreciate it. And to get some of these names is a little bit of a coup.
Yeah.
It really is.
We get asked all the time, well, how did you get, and I think part of it is this is a unique event, mostly to me, because the panelists have very often been repetitive, because it's the audience's favorite, you know.
And they really enjoy it.
They enjoy it, that's right. But they trust each other, too.
Yeah.
So sometimes we bat around some pretty heavy stuff with the smartest minds in the country going, what about this, what about that? And it's fun.
Yeah, I prep them. I work with their PR team. I'm like, this is not the crew. This is a very sophisticated crowd. This is real estate investors. They want candor, and it's okay. Like, we don't need PR speak. It's okay to be completely forthright and candid, and we love that. Very data-driven audience. So it's typically the first year they go in a little bit shy, but by the end of the night, they're like, this is one of the best events, and that's been some of the greatest feedback we've gotten, that some of these speakers speak at so many hundreds of events every year. So to come out as one that's their favorite, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Next up, we have Jim Park. He is the CEO and co-founder of the Mortgage Collaborative. It's going to be interesting to talk to him about what do negative interest rates look like for sort of these smaller collaboratives that he's working with and their membership in the mortgage space. What does that look like?
Now, that's the first time that he'll be on, but we've had David Kittle, right?
Gary Acosta. Yeah, the Mortgage Bankers Association, they recommended this group, and it is very appropriate. And I think a lot of the banks that are part of this collaborative are probably on the smaller scale. But these are the banks that really invest in the communities as well. Bank of America and Chase, they're not so much a target market for real estate investors as some of the local banks. Like, we use Pacific Premier Bank. It's been one of our sponsors. And, I would never be able to get Bank of America to probably sponsor iSurvive Real Estate, but they work with a lot of real estate investors and willing to do more creative things in their backyard because that's where they invest. They're not a publicly traded, huge outfit, you know, nationwide footprint. They're really investing locally.
You know, what's really interesting, and one of the questions I'll probably pose is that if you have interest rates get to an extremely low level, and there must be some expectation of that in a sense. John Byrne sends me a question. Mm-hmm. Would you borrow mortgage money if you could borrow it at negative interest rates? Now, I almost thought it was tongue in cheek, but then I realized, okay, there's a country already, Denmark, that has a minus 0.5% mortgage rate for 10 years.
Yep.
So I started thinking, okay, if interest rates get so low, I wonder if you don't have 30-year mortgages.
With 30-year mortgages with negative interest rates?
With fixed. Why would, yeah, who would do that?
I don't know. There's a 20-year one at 0%. It's not Denmark. It's somewhere, I forget the country, but it's in Europe somewhere.
At zero.
0% for 20 years, yeah.
Okay, well, it's going to be very interesting because we can ask, okay, well, where is the profit spread? So they must have a source at minus interest commitment for a long time.
I was talking to Sean. I gave him my list, and I'm like, all right, Sean, tell me what I'm missing. And it's a long list. And one of my things for the mortgage industry was vertical integration. So you've got companies like Zillow that this year has opened up a mortgage division. So the thought being that, you know, once a consumer touches the Zillow brand, they're in the ecosystem. They never have to touch another real estate brand as part of the process. So, you know, specifically for Jim Park and the Mortgage Collaborative, their membership, what are they looking at? They're looking at competition of somebody trying to control the entire pipeline of real estate, from the buy-sell experience to mortgages to closings, the whole kit and caboodle. So how are they planning on how are they competing? Next up is Mark Leswing. He's now the Senior Vice President of T360, which I'm really excited. He spent 17 years at the National Association of Realtors. He was on the panel last year and things got shaken up and he couldn't be there. So he has been on the forefront of blockchain technology. So I specifically want him there. T360 is very well known for producing an annual report of the real estate industry, technology, and innovation in the space. So he's there writing for things on blockchain and some of these advanced technologies that he's been watching and studying for the last numerous years.
Unfortunately, I won't be asking the questions of him.
I have to be careful because I don't want to lose people. That is definitely a little bit of a dry topic, but...
apparently a really important one.
Yeah.
Because I just listened to Kyle Bass talk about a couple of things with Mark Cuban. Mm-hmm. They're both computer geniuses, basically. And the subject was talking about how unemployment is going to get perhaps very aggressive in number because of all the innovation.
Right.
And they were talking about blockchain and they both understood it and that's like the future. So I don't have any knowledge of that. So that'll be very interesting to get a little piece of it.
Yeah, smart contracts. And so if you're not familiar with blockchain, you know what? You should definitely try this out. LinkedIn Learning. LinkedIn, owned by Microsoft, but before Microsoft purchased them, they bought a company called lynda.com, and now they have some really great people producing awesome content, and there's some very inexpensive ways to do some learning on an ongoing basis, and they have some information on blockchain. Definitely check it out. It makes it a little bit more you'll understand it more when we talk about it. I can't go too deep into it, but there are a lot of finance companies spending millions of dollars in the space researching because of the security issues. So on my list of topics that I hope to discuss, but I know I'm not going to get to it all, is iBuyers, 3D printed housing and prefab construction, sort of where we're going, the mortgage industry, artificial intelligence, blockchain, and disruptors in the space. So, you know, why did Purple Bricks back out in this point of time in our economy? It blew my mind. I was really surprised. I didn't love their business model. They got made fun of a lot, but I did not expect this year that they would be going back to the UK and pulling out of the US market for sure.
With John Burns too, I mean, he's got people that are his clients who are building tracks of rentals for the first time in their life.
Yeah, because that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Are they holding them or are they flipping them to these Wall Street companies that are...
That's a great question. I think that some of each.
Okay. It'll be interesting to talk to him to see if there's an update on mergers and acquisitions in these Wall Street companies that own to rent. There's been lots of those. How have those been going? Do they like being landlords? Is it as sexy as they thought it was going to be?
Well, you know, when we've spoken over the years, one of the big concerns, it will be there be a day where they all simultaneously exit
right.
and become market makers in a negative way. So they can't be, they are actually a positive force stopping price damage because they had a new model and they were buying everything at sight because it cash flowed.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a certain number that they had to reach. And as long as they could reach it, they didn't really care what the comp was. They didn't mind paying a little more to accomplish what they wanted. And they did it by the thousands. So they were really the bottom of the market. But if same thing, when you're that big of a player, if you were in a concentrated area, you could put a lot for sale quickly. Mm. And but I don't think they hold title that way. Most of them are in long-term investments that are like REITs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really just getting cash flow from them, and that's an acceptable number.
I wonder if he knows how much have taken on a lot of leverage too, and how long that leverage is. You know, I can't suspect that they're getting 30-year loans on the properties that they hold in a pool.
You know, I was just thinking about this last night when I was thinking about what might I ask, is that these people on the panel. Is they have clients that are the smartest people in the world
mm-hmm.
in the industry. And so it's great that, okay, this is a consultant for them, but also that has to be quite a learning experience
yeah.
when collectively you have like every top brain in the industry, you're learning what they're doing.
Yeah.
You're watching them, you're giving them a piece of advice, and then you watch their business model and you're just going, wow, I mean, I kind of get it. It's got to be quite an education.
I'm very interested to ask, are they going to be here to stay if there's a recession? You know, I've been at different events before where hard money has been very crowded. The space has gotten very popular, and you definitely have Wall Street playing in the space. And over the year, the last, I would say, 24 months, it's got progressively worse. When I asked the question, if we hit a recession, how many of these companies will be left standing? And it went from 50% to only 20% will stay. I mean, there's an expectation that a lot of them will fold because the business model is heavily leveraged. They don't have any expertise or just really good at spending other people's money kind of concept.
Okay.
So, you know, whether it's an iBuyer concept or hard money lenders, is Wall Street here to stay in the space? Is this permanent disruption, or is it going to hit a downturn and have to morph and really have an expectation of having a solid business model? I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, it was kind of interesting. Did a presentation in Orange County probably a little over a year ago, and there was a lender that stood up and he was presenting the loans that he had just funded. And I would say were three or four loans that and we wouldn't have funded any of them.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was just going, wow.
Oh, those are terrible opportunities, and opportunities are in quotes.
Well, and you know what? I just thought about this. There was, I went somewhere, I think I was a speaker, but it was a group of people were there in other meetings. And as I was walking out, somebody asked me if I would be interested in buying a portfolio of multi-million-dollar loans that are going to be discounted. So they were being offered at a big discount. They were supposedly written at 60% of value. And there was a pool of $20 million of loans that could be had for 12. So somebody is going to take a $10 million hit to get out of the loans that they had supposedly at 60%. Well, that didn't sound good.
That reminds me, at UC Irvine, I was in the middle of getting my MBA, and there was somebody that was in the finance industry that I was in class with, and he was talking about this awesome opportunity that he had to buy seconds at a, you know, at a 90% discount. I'm like, that's not the price. And he looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, it's going to get worse. And that was in, I think that was in 07.
Oh,
is when that conversation happened. So yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. It's just going to be really interesting to watch how this unfolds in the next couple of years.
There's a lot of moving parts to this.
Yeah.
That's what makes this so interesting, because you really are looking at some changes in technology that'll be game changers. Mm. Sean O'Toole, 5 years ago, we're going in the limo, and he said, the biggest problem America is going to confront is how to have society when 40% of the people don't have to have a job. And it, you know, yeah. When he said it, that was a long time ago. But about the same time he said, you're going to have driverless cars and 3D printers going to build houses. And you're kind of going, come on. And then.
Sure enough. Yeah.
So I can't wait to what he comes up with this time. But all of those concepts that he talked about are maturing.
Yeah.
And getting closer, because now when you go to Vegas, you can see a robot making drinks for people.
Yeah.
Okay. Or making pizzas for people and on. And pretty soon you'll be picked up by a driverless Uber. Just, wow.
I land in the middle. I think that we will innovate, and I think we're going to have to get better at being human and being purple people. I got to visit that bar at CES at the hotel, and it was the worst experience. There was a robot in the corner, and everybody was just looking at the robot. There was no music. And what was funny is I actually took a video of it. It's on my Instagram for those of you who follow me. What was funny is that there was more people at the bar on the other opposite side of the room, and everyone was just sipping their drinks talking about the robot in the corner. It was the only reason they had business. It was just so unengaging and unfun, and it was a novelty, but that was about it. So I think about when I go to the restaurant, yes, there are things that can be automated, like asking for my ticket in the dinner. But, you know, you go to be served, and it's a process, and you engage. I mean, I don't know.
I don't think you're right. I think that's not going to disappear. Some of it's going to get changed, and there's going to be disruption. But probably at the end of that, there'll be tons of innovation, too.
I hope so. Yeah. I'm always the glass is half full. Yeah, I'm definitely more on the positive angle, because why marinate in the negative? But I just believe in American innovation and people. I think we can definitely improve service. So McDonald's, I used to work out with a woman who and her husband ended up had a lot of McDonald's restaurants that they owned. And, 5 years ago, they weren't allowed to install kiosks. Well, the McDonald's that they just built has a kiosk. And it's not that I see that there are less human beings behind the counter. They're just doing different things in the restaurant, making sure things are clean and delivering food and creating a better experience overall. So I think there's a way to cobots helping automate the dangerous, dirty, and dull. That's how they spin it. But I just think there's a lot of opportunity to augment the human experience, but we can still have humans involved.
One of the things that I'm going to try and figure out how to bring up without touching off is the climate change idea and the economics of it. So if we pursue that, let's assume that somewhere between we're history in 12 years and there's no problem, between those extremes, when we go down the path of trying to improve what's going on, what's the cost of that?
It's very interesting. I was just reading an article actually this morning about the head of the Coastal Commission in California. And there are several cities that are spending just millions upon millions of dollars preparing for water inundation. So seawalls and upgrade of infrastructure, very much like Miami has had to do. I think Miami is spending like $100 million. They've had water inundation forever, but it's based on like lunar events and solar cycles. But they're working on it. I don't know enough about it. I haven't studied enough to know either way. Unfortunately, I'm in the media. I've been in the PR business, and I know how media works. So you've got both sides, and it's hard to sort of weed through what's real and what's not.
Well, I've listened to hours and hours of climatology climatologists and scientists on both sides. And so just going, okay, I don't even know if I'm capable of comprehending everything I need to make it a rational decision. But what I'd like to know is if we pursue this, to what extent will that be, like if you're fossil fuel, our goal is to get rid of fossil fuels in 12 years. What's that look like on paper?
Yeah, and who's paying for it?
Well, that's a given.
How's it going to land on the property owners or the a tax that everyone's paying?
Right. Yeah. How is that distributed?
Interesting.
That thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've run out of time. So by the time you hear this, it'll be the day after, most likely, I Survive Real Estate. And as always, we use this time of year to sort of recoup and take a break. But we air the entire thing on the radio. And then within a few weeks, we have it up on YouTube, Facebook, and Amazon Prime for you to enjoy the entire thing. And if you enjoy what we did, please consider giving us whatever your favorite social media, give us a grade, leave us some good comments, and also consider donating. If you go to I Survive Real Estate on the video tab, we'll leave a little link to where you can give to Make-A-Wish. And we just really appreciate your support. And when 12 years later, we're still doing this. I don't think that's what we originally thought was going to happen, but here we are. We can only do it with support.
And we survived, and the audience is a group of survivors too.
Agreed. So, all right. Well, we'll see you on the other side of I Survive Real Estate.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01211991. Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate, Coldwell Banker Town & Country, Inaday Development, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Keystone CPA, Las Brisas Escrow, LA South RIA, Michael Ryan and Associates, NorCal RIA, NSDREI, Orange County Real Estate Investors, Pacific Premier Bank, Pasadena Phoebe, Shenbaum Group, SJREI, Spinnaker Loans, South OC RIA, UDirect IRA Services, White House Catering, Wilson Investment Properties. See isurvivedrealestate.com for event information.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.